Are you happy to be here? Amen?
Amen.
Christians, we should love Easter. This is our day, a day to celebrate the resurrection, when we join people around the world saying, He is risen. Now, it was just 2 weeks ago today, a group from Trinity was in Israel, remembering the stories that we were telling today. Now, there once was a man from Olympia who had always dreamed of going to Israel to hear the Bible stories where they took place, to walk where Jesus walked. He saved his money and made his plans to go. He surprised his wife, announcing the upcoming pilgrimage. She was so happy. But she said, you know we cannot go without my mother. She has always wanted to go. So the man saved for 2 more years, put off the trip. They all went to Israel together. But as they were touring Jerusalem, the old woman had a heart attack and died. In shock, the man met with the Israeli mortician, and he presented him with 2 options. He said, she can be buried here for $1,000, or you can ship her body back to the United States, back to Olympia for $25,000. The man did not hesitate. I'll pay, ship her home. The funeral director said, really? You're sure you want to spend that kind of money? The man nodded and said, I'm very sure. You see, 2,000 years ago, your people buried a man here, and 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. This is my mother-in-law. I can't take that chance. Yes, we have a long history, tradition of bad jokes. Bad jokes on Easter, hopefully online. My mother-in-law's not listening in. Last week was Palm Sunday. We raised our palm branches, and this scene that you see projected came to life before us. We sang hosannas. We remembered how Jesus entered Jerusalem, coming down off the Mount of Olives on a pathway that is now known as the Palm Sunday Road. Palm Sunday begins with a joyful parade. The expectations are very high. People are very hopeful. There's an electricity in the air. Perhaps God is actually up to something. Perhaps God has finally heard our prayers. Perhaps our lives are about to get better. Perhaps this Jesus is the Messiah. Perhaps this Jesus will lead us in a revolution against the Romans, the power of Rome, an occupying army that oppresses the people, keeping the common people always on the edge of poverty. The day begins with great expectations. But as the week goes on, those expectations are not met. Light is replaced by darkness. Joy is replaced with sorrow. Humility with hubris. Nonviolence with violence. Expectations are not met. And by the end of the week, all hope is lost. All dreams are shattered. Death takes Jesus, and death stalks the rest of us. It was Palm Sunday, 1865. Our nation had been through the darkest days of the Civil War, the war between the states, the war of rebellion, the war of northern aggression, a war fought on our soil. The Civil War pitted state against state, brother against brother, father against son, and it dragged on for 4 years. 624,511 lost their lives. The South had been laid waste. A weary and divided nation buried their sons. It was Palm Sunday, 1865, at the Appomattox Courthouse in Virginia. Robert E. Lee would surrender the Army of Northern Virginia to General Ulysses S. Grant. The Civil War was over. Slavery was over. The fighting would stop. The burning of homes and farms and cities would stop. After 4 long years, there was hope and celebration. It was Palm Sunday, 1865, the day that the Prince of Peace had entered Jerusalem humbly on a donkey, was now the day when peace had returned once again to the United States of America. It was Palm Sunday, but the light of hopefulness would soon give way to the darkness of Holy Week. Yes, there was one more death to come, one more who would lay down his life for the people. It was Good Friday, 1865. President Abraham Lincoln was dead. The truth is, we live, as you know, in a Good Friday world. If you don't believe me, just read the morning headlines. We are Good Friday people, always looking and hoping for dawn, the dawn of Easter, the dawn of light, relief, of new hope. Our story this morning is found in the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter. Now, it is a supernatural story for sure, but more than that, it is a very human story, a story where we encounter people who look and act just like we do. If we open our hearts and minds this morning, we may just find ourselves in the Easter story. 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, it was a Sunday morning. It was the first day of the week. The Sabbath, which runs from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, was over. It was a work day, a Sunday, the first day of the week. At early dawn, the women came. They had not slept. They could not rest. In deep sorrow, they managed to put one foot in front of the other, still crying, still in shock. You see, their 30-something rabbi and teacher and friend had been brutally beaten and executed. At early dawn, they walked out of the Damascus Gate. They exited the relative safety of the city. A new day was dawning. The women, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and a few others, came to the tomb. And as they came, their load was heavy. It was very heavy, literally and figuratively. Sorrow and grief and despair and spices. Spices weighed them down. Spices to anoint the body. You see, Jesus had been buried in a hurry. On that dark Friday, as the Sabbath was about to begin, Jesus had been buried in a hurry. Hastily, he had been placed in the tomb. Now the women came to finish the solemn task, to anoint the mutilated body. They arrived at the tomb and they discovered that the stone had been rolled away. Now, why would anyone do such a thing? Could Jesus not even find peace in death? The stone had been rolled away. The women entered the tomb carved out of bedrock. It was dark and it was cold inside. The women were perplexed. The body was not there. They expected to encounter death. They expected to find Jesus in the tomb, but the tomb was empty. And suddenly there were two angels in their midst. Could it have been that one of these angels was the same angel that appeared to Mary some 30 years earlier? Could it have been that these were the same angels who had terrified the shepherds in the hills outside of Bethlehem on a starry Christmas Eve? The women were perplexed and understandably terrified. I think it's safe to say that we all would have been perplexed and terrified as well. Let's be honest. When we visit a graveyard, we bring flowers and we expect our deceased loved ones to have stayed put. But on Easter, the tomb was empty. The angel said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" They said, "Sir, Jesus is dead. We saw him die. We placed him here. We watched as the tomb was sealed. We have seen death before, sir. Where have they taken his body?" The angel said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he told you while you were still in the Galilee that the Son of Man would be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day, rise again." The women did remember. They remembered his words, all right, but the words were incomprehensible in the Galilee. They did not want to believe those words a few weeks earlier, and now the words were still mostly incomprehensible. Death, we understand, we get that, don't we? We expect death, we experience death. We have all stood at graveside. But the dead tend to stay put. Resurrection 2,000 years ago and today is a little hard to get our heads around. The women left the empty tomb. Why? Because there was nothing there. It held nothing for them. They retraced their steps, accompanied by the twins, of course, faith and doubt. Their pace quickened, fueled by adrenaline and some measure of hope. They slid through the Damascus Gate as the city was just waking up. They joined the grief-stricken disciples behind locked doors. And the women became the first evangelists, the first witnesses of the resurrection, the first to proclaim Easter. They told the men of all that they had seen and heard. But the men dismissed their words. For the most part, they discounted the report They reason that the dead don't come back to life. This hysterical report, seemed to be an idle tale. But Peter, the one who had denied Jesus three times, got up and ran. Just 3 days earlier, he had run into the darkness of the night on Good Friday, weeping. Now he ran against hope to the tomb, and when he arrived, he was out of breath. He saw the stone rolled away. He looked in the tomb and saw that it was indeed empty. There was nothing there except folded grave clothes. Peter went home. He went home amazed at what he had seen, but not really sure to make of it. And as soon as he got home, he locked that door once again. The hopefulness of Palm Sunday had given away to the darkness of Holy Week. And now as the sun rose on Easter morning, it seemed that hope had been rekindled, reborn. Life was coming out of death. It's a supernatural story, for sure. But at the same time, it's a distinctly human story. So let me ask you, how is your distinctly human journey going? Has your life played out pretty much as you expected it to? Have you experienced deep sorrow? Have you been perplexed, discouraged, downright terrified? Can you find the strength to be hopeful when life has let you down over and over again? Can you risk being hopeful when those who were supposed to love you have disappointed you and betrayed you? Can you be hopeful on this Easter, even as you face perhaps your own death or disability or a less than certain future? The Easter story is a uniquely human story. We find ourselves in doubting disciples, but also in perplexed women. Every human being is much more alike than we are different. If you are rich or you're poor, you're more alike than different. Educated or uneducated, Muslim, Jew, atheist, or Christian, we're more alike than we are different. What are we? We are afraid. And we are lost. And we are insecure. And perhaps most frightening of all, we are unsure. Unsure that God really cares about us. Unsure that God really hears our prayers. Unsure that God is listening, or perhaps unsure that God is even real. Welcome to the human family. But Easter would mark a new beginning for those who were lost in betrayal and shame and doubt and darkness on Good Friday. Now let's be very clear, the years ahead would be filled with miracles. The teachings of Jesus would be shared in every corner of the Roman Empire, but there would also be very dark times of persecution and violence and Christian martyrs by the thousands and hundreds of thousands. There would be no shortage of crosses and gladiators and prison cells for the Christians. But hope would lead the Christian church forward. Fear would not win the day. And this movement started by Jesus would in fact change the world. Palm Sunday, 1865. There was reason for hope, but on Good Friday, 1865, our nation was rocked to its core by the death of our president. The years ahead would be called Reconstruction. And most historians would say that the Reconstruction period was nearly as dangerous, violent, and unsettling as the Civil War itself. Truth be known, our nation is still suffering from the Civil War. Our nation is still suffering from Reconstruction. The sins of the parents are visited on the third and fourth generation of those who follow. Yes, 154 years after the South surrendered, we still have not come to grips with what was supposed to be the foundational truth of our new nation, that all men and women were created equal. The fever that put Jesus on the cross, the fever that seeks to enslave the black man, the immigrant, the migrant, the poor, and the hungry is still alive. We must resist the temptation to sink back into the darkness of Holy Week. We must live into the resurrection. Now there is a message for us this Easter. The first is to manage expectations. The world is hard. You know that. The human journey is difficult. betrayal, misplaced loyalty, bankruptcies, disease, disability. They're a reality for everyone. Everyone. So expect it. And it does not matter how good you are, how many good deeds you do, or how much you love Jesus, you still should expect darkness in times of trial. But the message of Easter tells us not to lose hope, even when any logical reason for hope is absent. The darkness we know always gives way to light, and the seasons are always changing. And even in the midst of our darkest despair, God comes to us and says, "Do not be afraid. You are not alone. Hold on. Hold on, because death will not have the last word." Now, it would be pretty easy to look around at our messed up world and our warming climate, the political chaos in Washington, and we might conclude that all is lost, that there's no reason for hope. It would be easy to consider our loveless marriages and our prodigal children and our hopeless finances and simply give up hope. But Easter calls us forth when there's no reason to hope. Easter stares down death and says, hold on. Hold on to each other and hold on to hope. So I want you just to grab the hand of the people next to you on each side. Grab that hand for a minute. I want you to feel that hand and know that you are not alone. We are in this together. Do not be afraid. Hold on. Amen.